We want to welcome you this evening to the Nenana Civic Center. This evening we have a program with Native dancers. We hope that you enjoyed the lunch that we put on. I think that probably we should all give a hand to Mita Lord for doing such a great job in putting together such a fine smorgasbord. This evening, why we're all gathered here, it's a stormy night outside, and I realize that we didn't get the guests that we hoped that we would get to this 50th anniversary of the Serum Run to Nome. 50 years ago today, it was 57 below in Nenana, and a steamer-type engine brought the serum in at 10:30 in the evening, and they managed to get it aboard the first dog team, which took the first leg of the serum run between Nenana and Nome, some 586 miles between the two communities. And old Wild Bill Shannon took off from here at 11 o'clock. This evening, while we're not going to be reenacting the fact that a old steamer engine pulls into the railroad station, and by the way, that railroad station that's sitting at the front of A Street is the same structure that was there at the time the Serum Run took place. This evening, why, in order to bring our program through its conclusion, we're going to have about 3/4 of an hour of Native dancing, and it's going to be narrated by none other than Mary Domindoff. It's going to be led by Paul George, the Nenana Native dancers who've been recognized throughout the interior for their fine job. Then we'll have a program shortly after, and at that time why we'll get the team strapped up and harnessed up, and the boys will take off here from the front of the Civic Center about 10:30, 10:45 to 11. So without any further from me, why, Mary Domindoff. Mary?
Dancers would like to dedicate their songs and dances to the courageous men who made the historic serum race from Nenana to Nome 50 years ago. Their first song and dance is called the Get Up and Dance. While everyone was just sitting around with nothing to do, they decided to get up and dance. This is how it started.
Oh! fish. Spread way out. Make a big ring.
The next is called the costume dance. The song was written for the costumes while they were sewing them. These costumes are worn by the singers and dancers. Hey, ho, 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 ho. Using, which is decorated with beads, feathers, and ribbons. It dates back in use to the year 1889, and the gun hawk is still used in all their native dances. The gun hawk is made from birch wood.
Same one for the dog mushers.
Which one?
G-Haw.
You want to do it now?
G-Haw dance? You're good, yeah.
The next song and dance is called the G-Haw dance. Paul George would like to dedicate this song to all the dog mushers, especially the ones that are going out tonight. When the trap broke loose from the tackle, he started tracking the fox. When he heard the rattle from the chain of the trap, This is how the song was written. I'm told that the diphtheria serum that was brought from Nenana to Nome was frozen. And when they got it to Nome, they melted the serum and then they injected it. I asked Jack Colliel about how large the needles were to use that they used to inject this serum. They must have been awful big because we have tiny ones right now for penicillin. Right now we can go to the nearest clinic, to a doctor, and get our own shots, while they had to travel 658 miles from Nenana to Nome to bring the diphtheria serum for the people down there. So we're pretty lucky right now. The next song and dance is called Arthur's Dance. This song was written by a famous dancer, Arthur Evan, who was babysitting his young son. He lived at Nenana years ago.
Thank you.
favorite song and dance.
Another one?
That's the dancers.
That's the dancers. Another one, dancers?
More?
More, huh?
Oh, yes.
The next is called the Snowshoe Dance. This song and dance was written by a hunter while on a moose hunt.
Anything?
Oh, 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 our singers and dancers a little break, and then we'll come back again.
There's a fresh pot of coffee up here. Anybody that wants to get up and stretch and have a fresh cup of coffee, and then we'll get Paul and Mary and the dancers back. We'll have another 15 or 20 minutes, and then Joey Reddington and his manager will bring their dog team up to the front of the Civic Center, and they'll hitch up their dogs out here in front of the Civic Center to make the first leg. We've got the postmaster here, and she will deliver the sack of mail to the musher, and it will be not only a reenactment of the serum run, but it will probably be the latest last dog team mail run across the western part of Alaska, so it has two or three significances. So if you'll want to come up and grab a cup of coffee, and we'll continue on in about 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Portage song, written for a group of natives who were traveling over the portage to a trapline cabin.
Oh, ah, hey, hey, hey.
Moving around on the riverbank. So he made a dancing song about the movement of the porcupine. Willow grouse song and dance. This was written about the willow grouse. Watch the graceful movements of the dancers as they imitate the willow grouse. Squirrelish song and dance. This song and dance was written in 1912. It is about a squirrel jumping from tree to tree. About a seagull flying over the treetop. Watch the dancers and you will notice how they imitate the seagull. Announcement for the children in the building. Gladys Cargill, our registered nurse, is going to give diphtheria shots to all the kids here present. We would like to have the ambulance attendants, the state trooper, see that the children don't leave the building. What happened?
Only the dancers won't get shot.
Huh?
Only the dancers won't get shot.
Only the singers and dancers are exempted from the diphtheria shot. Yay! the Hey Hey Fast Dance. Song and Dance. This song and dance was written by Chief Matthew, who lived at Canada years ago. They were on their way to a potluck at a nearby village.
Hey, la, ha, 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 ha,
you feel the urge to go anywhere, come and visit our town, Nenana. Not by dog team, though, by cars first. Don't forget Gladys Coggins' call, invitation to all the kids to have a guitar shop at the door. Don't forget.
Give them all a good hand for the nice plans they're giving. You really don't know how much energy is exercised in one of those dances. I had me out here, I thought I was going to be the only gussick out there, and then Dick come along and got in the middle of it too. You gotta try it sometime, it's good. We should probably have about 10 or 15 minutes before Joey gets here with his team. I think that we should probably get away from all of the levity and the fine time that we have this evening and talk a little bit about 50 years ago in Nenana. I think that we have to go back a little bit further than that because our little old town of Nenana is quite prominent in the history and the making of this great state of Alaska. Jimmy Duke founded the first roadhouse here back at the turn of the century. The old roadhouse used to set right about where the Alaska Railroad Depot is, and the wireless station, or the first communication between the city of St. Michael and the gold rush towns of Dawson, came through this community, and it was there that many of the old timers, I mean the real old timers, first came into Alaska when they came in under the telegraph stations that were stationed all the way along the Yukon and the Tanana River up through Tanacross and over the divide into Eagle and then on up into the gold rush community of Dawson. And it was through this community that many, many things have happened. In 1912, in January, the old sourdough team that first climbed Mount McKinley came through Nenana in January of 1910. And they billeted here for 2 days and got their supplies put together in Duke's Roadhouse and then trudged on up to be the first to climb Mount McKinley. It was then a little bit later on that the Alaska Engineering Commission decided that Nenana should be the northern terminus of the Alaska Railroad in 1914. This town took the shape that you see today with the streets and the alleys in the layout that they are. And by 1918, there was some 5,800 people that lived here in this community. Well, with the gold being discovered in the Fox and the Esther area, it was decided that what we needed to do is we needed to get the coal out of the Healy Valley, the Santana Valley, into a power plant complex in the Fairbanks area, and the old FE or the Guggenheim interests then pushed the railroad through to the Fairbanks area, and in 1923, while the Golden Spike was driven on the 15th of July, on the other side of the Alaska Railroad Bridge. And some of you folks will remember here just a couple short years ago why we had a very nice celebration here where we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the driving of the Golden Spike. This is certainly not the last anniversary that we'll have here of the 50 years as we go into our bicentennial year. We've got two or three more coming up. But I think that tonight we have to talk about the serum run and the 20-some-odd dog mushers that took the serum off of the Alaska Railroad here about this time 50 years ago and started on their relay, taking it across the frozen country, down the Tanana River to the Yukon River, and down the Yukon to Calpag, and then over the divide, up the Unalakleet, and then on across. The same amount of mushers will be used tonight or tomorrow and the next day. It took them 5.5 days to get the first serum run. And it was the second serum run that went through that some of the old timers here will remember, some of the people that ran in that. And I believe that in the second serum run, why you had a couple of the old dog mushers that you remember, Bill Burke, and a couple of those were in the second run. The first run that went out of Nenana, Wild Bill Shannon was the first musher that left here, and he was an old wireless station fellow that lived here, worked here with a fellow by the name of Al Linder, another fellow by the name of Tuport Nelson, and of course Jimmy Duke was here, and several of the old-timers, or some of you folks that have been here, will remember some of these names. But I think that probably the biggest tribute made by the serum run to the stricken community of Nome was the two dog team leaders that really took the mushers through their perils, and one of them was a name of Togo. Togo was the leader of Sepla's dog team. Togo ran some 90 miles. He went through the blizzard all the way from on the Norton Sound, went down, picked up the serum, and took it back. And there was a fellow by the name of Casson, who was the last musher, and he had a leader in his dog team by the name of Baldo. Baldo was probably one of the bravest and probably the most courageous leaders in any of the dog teams that made this plight, because during the time that he ran from the bluffs into Nome, why, you had a blizzard that was blowing, it was about 20 degrees below, and you couldn't even see the trail. According to all the accounts, why, if it hadn't have been for this dog, why, the serum and the dog team and the dog musher and the whole business would have been lost. So I think that we have to remember that as the North was conquered by man, it was really conquered by some of these great dogs that came out of the Siberian and the Husky route. Now we have tonight, why, we'll be starting out with the run. We'll leave here in about 10 minutes, and we'll get Joey Reddington back in here, and we have the postmaster, and she's going to give this bag of mail. We got 1,000 envelopes in here that have been stamped and canceled, and they're commemoratory envelopes. And they'll be worth quite a lot of money, but they're going to be transported all the way from Nenana to Nome, and they'll be worth $5 a piece. And the money will be used to defray the costs of the Iditarod Trail. It's being sponsored by the Nome Kennel Club, and I've asked that 100 of these envelopes be saved and be sent back to Nenana. So any of you folks that are stamp collectors, or if you know of any of them, any people that would like to buy some, why, There is only 1,000 of them in existence. They've been canceled in Anchorage, and now they've been canceled here in Enana 50 years ago to the date from the time that the serum run was run, and then they'll be canceled also at the Nome post office. So we'll figure out how we're going to put the list out. We'll probably have it at the store, and we can have it two or three of the other places. But this bag will follow each one of the dog mushers as he relays his load on into Nome. We have four of the original dog mushers that run the serum run back 50 years ago that are going to be running the race in the next two or three days. Edgar Nolner from Galena, Edgar Callan from Caltag. Oh, let's see, who are the other two? Those are two that I know real well. Roy Folger, of course, will be running it from Tanana, but his father, Johnny Folger, was the one that was involved in the run, and the other one will be Justin Patsy from Nulato to Caltech. The racers will take off basically they will be in this order. From Nenana to Tolovana will be Joe Reddington Sr., and from Tolovana to Manly Hot Springs will be Red Olson from Fox. From Manly to Fish Lake will be Mark Worcester. And from Fish Lake to Tanana will be Ron Aldrich. From Tanana to Callens will be Thomas Swenson. From Callens to 9 Mile will be Milton Moses Jr. From 9 Mile to Cochrane will be Jake Starr and Roy Folger. And with Milton Moses will be running Rudy Summers. From Cochrane to Ruby will be Scotty Barron. From Ruby to Whiskey Lake or Whiskey Creek will be Bill McCartney Jr., and Bill McCartney's father was one of the original dog mushers. From Whiskey Creek to Galena will be Edgar Nolner Sr., which will be one of the original mushers. From Galena to Bishop Mountain will be Patty Nolner. From Bishop Mountain to Nulato will be Billy Demosky. From Nulato to Caltag will be Justin Patsy. Justin Patsy was one of the first. And from Caltag to Old Woman will be Edgar Callan. And from there, I haven't got the list. I don't know who's going to be from there. It might be interesting to take a look at some of the statistics of this particular run and see how fast they made it from 50 years ago. Like I say, it was 57 below here in Nenana. And they made it from Nenana to Tolovana in 12 hours, which was 20 miles. And from Tolovana to Manly Hot Springs, they made it in 9 hours. It just shows you that these are part of the historical, you might say, folklore of Alaska. And I've always maintained that if the airplane had come into being 100 years before it had, and if it had came into being in the 1840s instead of the 1940s, you wouldn't have all of the great cities of the Midwest that you have today. And if it had been 100 years later, we'd have had a lot of great communities between here and Nome. But when the airplane came in, the old mail trails and a lot of the old roadhouses just vanished, dried up and vanished because there was no reason for them. But as a boy, I can remember Charlie Shade and Mike Cooney and many of these people leaving out of Nenana with dog teams that had as many as 40 and 50 dogs in them, with as many as 8 or 9 sleds, with the Jeep pole and the G-street and the ski, and have 2 or 3 mushers on the sleds to keep the sleds going. And if that had continued instead of airplane fields every 200 miles, we'd still have a lot of roads and a lot of trails here. And it's my hope that as we continue down to our bicentennial that we can get a lot of these historical trails, a lot of these places put back on the map. I wonder if Joey's out there now. Howie, would you take a look to see if he's out there? Put the time that you leave Dean Anna and the time you arrive at the Polavanna site and sign in and sign out. And I noticed that they didn't put any ballpoint pens, so I got a couple pencils because I'm sure that by the time you got halfway to Nome, why the ballpoint pens wouldn't work, and there'd go history. So we've got the notebook, and there's an instruction on how to use the camera. We have an Instamatic camera. Two rolls of film. And I don't know who's going to take your picture when you meet Red Olson, but maybe you can take Red Olson's picture and then he can take yours or something. I don't know how that's going to work. And we have two packages of flash bulbs and an extra set of batteries so that you can get it. And you'll notice that this bag has the Alaska National Bank of the North Nome Bank Branch. And the instructions are on the other side, so this should go in your pouch. Better put the pencils in there. No, I'm not going to give them my pipe. Now, Joyce, it gives me pleasure to ask you to present the bag. Mail bag to Joy would be probably the last dog mail that'll go for a long time.
Well, 50 years ago, you people really made a history. We're not doing anything near as important tonight, but I think it will help dog mushing. And we have kept dog mushing alive for 50 years. And we're going to keep it alive for another 100 years, I'm sure. And one thing I'd like to say, Leonard Seppel was a very good friend of mine, and that was probably one reason that I was choosing to take his first lap of the run. And I have a small pin here, a small gold pin that Leonard Seppel gave me that he won in the Nome races at Nome for the Nome Kennel Club. There's only two or three in existence, and I very seldom wear it, but I'm going to wear it on this run in remembrance of Leonard Seppel. I thank you very much.
Cozy up.
Now, the reason why we had Joey come in, so that all of you folks, if you want to go out in the street, he's hooking up his team, and you'll be able to see him hook up his team, and then he's going to go head down A Street, he'll turn off at 6th Street, and he's on his way. Thank you all for coming. We enjoyed having you.
Thank you.